For more, we're joined by Tom McElroy, political reporter for Fairfax Media. Tom, good morning.
Good to be with you, Oliver.
Excellent. Now, this is really interesting, isn't it? Just for a bit of background for everyone out there, what exactly did this deal propose to accomplish and how might it have benefited both Australia and the US?
Well, your listeners will know that for years now, the Australian government from both sides of politics has been trying to resettle immigration detainees held on Manus Island and Nauru. In September last year, Malcolm Turnbull went to Barack Obama's refugee management conference in New York and signed a deal agreeing to take some Central American refugees who are living in camps in Costa Rica and resettle them in Australia. This led to speculation that a deal would be signed with the US to try and resettle some of the people held in Australia's offshore immigration detention centres as part of an effort to close those centres. So the plan is for some hundreds, the number hasn't been confirmed, for some hundreds of people to be moved from PNG and Nauru to the US and included in part of the wider Obama administration refugee intake. So that's where we stand at the moment. But since the deal was announced in November by the Prime Minister, there hasn't been much more detail. There's some processing happening, but it's very slow. And, people are starting to ask questions about whether this deal is going to go ahead.
Yeah, no, the deal certainly is under threat at the moment. What could be the consequences if it doesn't go through?
Well, it would be the latest in a string of international agreements for resettlement of Australia's immigration detainees to fall over. Your listeners will know that there have been a few deals now, most recently Cambodia, where only a handful of people have been resettled despite millions of dollars being spent. I think the Turnbull government was optimistic that this would be a sure thing before the election. I think people all around the world were expecting for the Democrats to stay in the White House, for Hillary Clinton to succeed Barack Obama, and this kind of deal and plenty of other things would go through without too many speed humps. But obviously the election result turned everything on its head. Donald Trump has run on a strong anti-Muslim immigration ticket, talked very strongly about the risk from refugees being resettled in the US. So that's where some of these doubts are coming from.
Yeah, and just that, I mean, he made some comments also on refugees as well as immigrants. He actually at one point said it was too cold in America and they wouldn't like it here. And he said all sorts of negative things about refugees. So do you think the deal has any hope of succeeding at the moment?
Well, my information is that people within the government think that there is some prospect of it continuing. When you talk to people about this deal, they say that it's such small numbers and a small factor in any consideration that it might not even get on Donald Trump's radar. This is where this Congressman Brian Babin, who I wrote about yesterday, comes into the picture. He's part of the Freedom Caucus in the Republican Party, a member of Congress representing Texas. And he says that because of Donald Trump's previous positions and because of his strong criticism against Obama's moves to bring refugees into the US, that the Australian deal will definitely get scuttled. He says Trump's going to do everything in his power to stop it because it was signed in secret by the Obama administration and the Turnbull government, and that Americans have been kept in the dark about the details and the cost and exactly what is involved.
So that was actually the issue that these Texan congressmen actually had. As you mentioned, the numbers are quite small, but he was concerned that the deal was made behind closed doors and without any input from Congress. Was that actually the case?
Well, yes. I guess you would say that is the case. The reality of the American presidency is that a lot of actions are taken without involvement from Congress. Presidential executive orders and directives on a multitude of subjects can cause action and international deals without Congress being involved. Brian Babin isn't the only member of Congress to raise these kind of concerns. In late last year, some members of judiciary committees in the House and the Senate both said similar things, that potentially dangerous people were being brought to the US without Congress being able to scrutinise the agreement. But the reality is that there'll be huge security vetting. Anyone who's visited the US on a tourist visa will know how difficult it can be to get in across the border. So months and months of security vetting will go before these people are able to be resettled. So I think some comments about the danger that they pose to the US have to be taken with a grain of salt.
Now, a lot of politicians here in Australia said some quite unflattering things about Trump before the election, before anyone thought he had any chance of winning. Now, if this deal falls apart, how is this going to further affect the relationship between Trump and Australia?
Well, I think some of those comments were probably a bit unhelpful, and government ministers have acknowledged that, although Bill Shorten stuck very closely to his comments about some of Donald Trump's policy positions and statements. I think the reality is, although Donald Trump is unlike any president who Australia will have ever dealt with, the relationship between countries like ours are so entrenched and so strong that it's unlikely that even this deal being scuttled would have huge negative effect on the relationship. It's in both countries' interests for the two governments to work closely on any number of topics. The two leaders will both be aware of how important it is to look like there are strong relationships between them and between the two governments. So it'd be a huge political failure for Malcolm Turnbull if this deal is scuttled, but I don't think it would have long-standing ramifications for the Australia-US alliance.
Yeah, well, that's a good positive note, actually, to finish on. A lot of people are quite nervous about the 20th of January, so it's great that our long-standing, strong history between the nations, hopefully that will carry us through. So, Tom, thanks very much for joining us this morning and filling us in.
My pleasure. Thank you.